This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I can't think of a better place to be than right here behind this very microphone, sharing vital health information with you. And we can also share some direct feedback with you about your medical concerns, or if you have a question about some aspect of health, diet, supplements, natural remedies. We cover all bases here on Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255 is our number for calls. That's 877-726-TALK. And we got a whole hour to answer questions. So, big story this week has to do with chicken versus red meat as a source of cholesterol. And it turns out, to everyone's surprise, seemingly, even the researchers, that chicken, the vaunted white meat, is really just as bad for you as red meat. That's what all the stories are saying. So, you know, if you're investing in Chick-fil-A, sell your stock on Monday because it now turns out that you're in a fool's paradise if you think that by eschewing red meat instead of chewing red meat and opting for chicken instead, that you're going to lower your cardiovascular risk. A lot of people come to my office and they say, well, I don't eat red meat because I prefer eating, you know, chicken breast. It's got to be lean. I take the skin off. And no more red meat for me because red meat's full of cholesterol. It's full of fat. And the chicken, they think, is better for them. Well, think again. According to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they say new research is raising questions about poultry and cholesterol. But I say, you know, what's the surprise? Because we know that, I mean, we can easily do an analysis and find that chicken contains as much cholesterol as beef. I mean, you analyze the food directly, and you can actually do a pretty good breakdown of the various components, you know, the fats, the carbohydrates, the protein, the amino acids, the vitamins, minerals that something contains. So they've known for a long time that chicken delivers as much cholesterol as red meat. Even lean chicken versus lean beef, as was done in this experiment. So what do they really do? Well, first of all, keep in mind, this is a very small study, just 113 adults. And they were randomly assigned to one of three diets for 1 month. And then they were switched over. So the diets consisted either of being rich in lean cuts of beef or alternatively lean cuts of chicken or turkey, or plant proteins. And then after each month, the participants' diet was changed, so they all ended up trying all three diets. And after each month, at the end of each trial period, the researchers measured the participants' levels of LDL cholesterol, the so-called bad cholesterol. And what they found is that regardless of whether they ate red meat or chicken, their LDL was the same. But when they were on the veggie protein diet, their cholesterol was lower. And I could have told you that many, many years ago because I was once a macrobiotic vegetarian. When I was in my 20s and early 30s, I was eating a vegan diet. And at the time, I had my cholesterol checked. And this is the beginning of the era of cholesterol fervor. We wanted everybody's cholesterol to be as low as possible. So I'm very proud that I had a cholesterol of like 128, 135. And my HDL at the time was about 40. Because I wasn't eating hardly any fat. Lots of brown rice and beans and tofu and green leafy vegetables. My skin assumed a yellowish hue because of all the carotenoids I was consuming. Just vegetables. No meat, not even any fish. Lots of miso soup. That's the macrobiotic diet. And then I did a virtually a 180. I turned things around, it's around 25 years ago. I opted for a diet that was omnivorous, consisting of lots of animal protein. And I felt better, and it alleviated some health concerns that I had. And I put on healthy weight and muscle, and it worked fine. But when I checked my cholesterol had gone way up. My cholesterol had gone up to 210. But interestingly, the ratio of my cholesterol to HDL was better because my HDL was 70. So there was a corresponding increase in the good cholesterol as well as the so-called bad cholesterol. The net result is that a year ago or so, I went to get my coronary arteries checked, and I had zero plaque. So it seems that regardless of what diet I was on, I didn't accumulate plaque. That's not what this study speaks to. It speaks to a surrogate endpoint, just as the coffee and blueberry studies that I talked about in hour one referred to. Ultimately, not really looking at the question of, are you going to live or die eating chicken versus eating beef? And, you know, I must point out that there's really a lot of evidence that meat, and in particular saturated fat, doesn't really have a big impact on cholesterol. There are some people where the addition of lots of saturated fat and cholesterol will raise their cholesterol. Like me, I'm a case in point. But that does not necessarily reflect higher risk of cardiovascular disease, despite this diet heart hypothesis. The diet heart hypothesis, the father of it, was a guy named Ansel Keys, who did a study in the 1940s, a seven-country study in Europe, linking the consumption of animal protein and saturated fat and cholesterol to cardiovascular disease risk. But he himself said, dietary cholesterol, I'm quoting, dietary cholesterol has an important effect on the cholesterol level in the blood of chickens and rabbits, but many controlled experiments have shown that dietary cholesterol has a limited effect in humans. Adding cholesterol to a cholesterol-free diet raises the blood level in humans, like it did in me. But Keyes writes, but when added to an unrestricted diet, it has a minimal effect. So, now, there are studies, such as a recent meta-analysis of 17 low-carb diet trials looking at over 1,000 obese patients. It found that low-carb diets neither increased nor decreased LDL cholesterol. However, they did find that low-carb diets were associated with significant decreases in body weight, helped people lose weight, improvements in several cardiovascular risk factors like triglycerides, fasting, glucose, blood pressure, BMI, or body mass index, the circumference around your belly, help people lose belly fat, help to reduce excess insulin associated with metabolic syndrome, reduced inflammation, C-reactive protein, and there was an increase in HDL with these low-carb diets rich in saturated fat, because take away the carbs, what's left? You're going to have fat and protein, usually from animal sources. Very hard to do a vegan, very low-carb diet. So, you know, a lot of fuss about the comparison of chicken to beef, and I guess that should remove the halo from people who think that they're being virtuous by not having red meat and having chicken instead. But they're looking for love in all the wrong places, so to speak, when they focus on LDL cholesterol as the end-all and be-all of cardiovascular risk. That's a big mistake. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. A worldwide leader in probiotics for over 30 years, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a superior formulation that enhances immunity and digestion to help reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a fermentation of 12 strains of live probiotic bacteria with wholesome super fruits and vegetables producing Dr. O'Hara's trademarked postbiotic metabolites, so restorative to gut health. Stay healthy while traveling, and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at fine natural health retailers nationwide, also available online. Discover the Dr. O'Hara's difference.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and 877-726-8255, should you care to call us this hour. This item comes to us from the University of Missouri, Columbia, and it has to do with something called the mitochondrial theory of aging. You know, we all know that as you age, you tend to get run down. It's an inevitable process. And, you know, we had a stark demonstration of that recently with the 75th anniversary of D-Day. We actually have some surviving veterans of the Normandy landing, folks who were on Omaha Beach, were on ships supporting the invasion, even some incredible guy who jumped from a plane right into the heart of Nazi-occupied France. And he commemorated D-Day by jumping out of a plane. He did it as a tandem dive. And this guy is a remarkable specimen, a real outlier. I think he was like 98 years old, but he was able to jump out of a plane, walked upright. But still, you could see a difference between his gait and his skin appearance, his voice, a little bit of hesitancy in speech associated with the aging process. It's even in the best case scenario, it's happening. And some of the theories that have to do with that suggest that, well, maybe free radicals. Free radicals get to you, break down your tissue, and so on. But one of the most promising theories for why we age and why our organs function less well, in particular our heart and our brain, is the mitochondrial theory of aging. Mitochondrial function may explain link between intelligence, health, and aging, according to an article in Neuroscience News. What they do is, in a very technical way, they go into all the ramifications of the decline in mitochondrial function. The mitochondria are like little motors within our cells, and they whir and whir and whir and keep on producing energy. But after a while, Can you imagine, you've got a car that's 20 years old, and that car is not performing as well as a brand new car, unless it's magnificently tuned up. And you, by way of contrast, are 2, 3, or 4 times that old. And it's a miracle that your mitochondria are still putting out energy. So it's also been suggested that chronic stress can damage mitochondria, as well as toxins, as well as infections. According to the author of this study, these systems are being used over and over again, and eventually their heavy use results in gradual decline. But with good mitochondrial function, the aging processes will occur much more slowly. Mitochondria have been relatively overlooked in the past, but are now considered to relate to psychiatric health and neurological disease, and in particular, dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, there's a long technical discussion of this in this paper out of the University of Missouri, Columbia. And I say this as a prelude to my usual announcement about something that I really think supports mitochondrial function. It's NT factor from nutritional therapeutics. And I really think they've been onto something, because this is many, many years ago this was developed. You know, 15 years ago or so, they were promoting this product. And it's really stood the test of time. NT factor repairs damaged mitochondria. And clinical trials have shown that NT factor reduces fatigue by almost half. And they claim, and rightfully so, that it even reverses some symptoms of aging, because the mitochondria are so central to the process of aging. You can take something called healthy aging. Healthy aging is the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. It provides you the unique energy support of pure NT factor and a potent delivery system. And I've been taking NT factor for years myself. I don't go a day without it. Now with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Find ProPacks or Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store, or you can order direct by calling 800-982-9158. 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Tell them Dr. Hoffman sent you. Okay. This item comes to us out of China. You know, Chinese are fooling around with hacking the DNA of not just animals, but people. And they gave a genetic mutation to Chinese twins last year, rendering them immune to the HIV virus. Now, you might say, well, that's really a boon to mankind, fixing that. But it turns out that these Chinese gene babies' mutation is linked to a higher risk of dying. The mutation is a variant of CCR5, a gene known as Delta 32. But a new wide-ranging study suggests that individuals carrying the D32 mutation face a 20% higher risk of early death compared with others. So, bottom line, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. And China, in November, has said it ordered people involved in the twin experiment to halt their activities, ruling that it seriously violates national law and medical ethics. And I'm with that. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and thanks to my intrepid producer, Al, he reminded me that the meme, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, actually has an origin in advertising. It's pretty old, but some of us, shall we say, more mature individuals, remember an ad campaign for chiffon margarine. Okay, so talk about a very wholesome sentiment in the service of a very unwholesome product. That was part of an ad campaign. The classic chiffon ads ran during the 1970s and into the 1980s. And they featured character actress, and I'm reading here from Wikipedia, they featured character actress Dina Dietrich as the iconic character Mother Nature. And she was all dressed up. She had, like, long tresses, and she wore kind of, you know, like a dress with, you know, all kinds of, like a robe with pleats, like dressed up kind of like ancient Athena. And she was Mother Nature personified. And so she was offered a stick of, a little taste of chiffon, and she identifies it as my delicious butter. And the narrator then tells her, that's chiffon margarine, not butter. Chiffon's so delicious it fooled even you, Mother Nature. And vexed at the trickery, Mother Nature responds by uttering in increasingly scornful tones her signature line, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, quickly followed by a flash of lightning and a peal of thunder. So, and I kind of remember those commercials, and this has become part of the popular parlance, and I used it to inveigh against the Chinese experiment with babies' DNA to make them HIV-proof, which is, you know, that sounds like what a boon to mankind. We're going to create a population of HIV-proof individuals, and we'll eliminate this terrible scourge from our world. But the net result is that the kids growing up will be 20% higher risk of dying because their immune systems will be altered in an unforeseen way. So it's but interesting that the original launch of that little meme, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, was in the service of marketing margarine, which we then learned a decade or two later was responsible for killing people off wholesale. So it really isn't nice to fool Mother Nature, turns out. Thank you, Al, for that trivial reference. It's amazing what you guys know. All right, speaking of consumption of harmful oils, this article just came to us. Excess omega-6 fat consumption during pregnancy may be harmful. Well, we know that omega-3s may be beneficial for babies developing nervous systems. So let's say we've eliminated margarine, and virtually trans fats are out of commission. They've been regulated out of existence, and you can only find small amounts, residual amounts in processed foods. But you get plenty of omega-6 fats, particularly linoleic acid, when you have refined vegetable oil or foods like potato chips. Research has shown that linoleic acid can promote inflammation, and we have a concern about the omega-3-6 ratio. You get too much omega-6, not enough 3s. It's a pro-inflammatory ratio. New research in the Journal of Physiology showed that eating a diet with 3 times the recommended daily intake of linoleic acid, which you can get from lots and lots of corn oil, peanut oil, might be harmful in pregnancy. This is a rat study. They found 3 changes in rat mothers who ate a high linoleic acid diet. Their liver had more inflammatory proteins. Their circulating concentrations of protein that caused contraction of the uterus during pregnancy were increased. That could cause miscarriages. And a hormone that can regulate growth and development was decreased. So, again, surrogate markers, they didn't say that women who eat a lot of junk food, are having miscarriages left and right, because the amazing thing about human pregnancy is it's hard to screw it up. It really is. Even on the worst conceivable conditions, babies are born to mothers in concentration camps and in war zones, and it all seems to work out. But you do increase the chance of problems with a diet high in pro-inflammatory omega-6 oils, according to this study. And when it comes to skin, diet is important, too. So a good segue to introduce our audience to Herpanacine Skin Support. You know, your skin's your largest organ. It protects our bodies. It helps regulate body temperature, obviously. Allows us to have a sense of touch. It's the first thing other people see. Treating and preventing serious, unsightly, and at times painful skin problems should be done from the inside out, not by smearing creams on externally. That's why for over 28 years, people worldwide have experienced safe and positive results with the award-winning vitamin formula Herpanacine Skin Support. Herpanacine Skin Support remains the number one skin supplement on the market, and it utilizes the finest quality gluten-free, non-GMO vitamins, herbs, amino acids, and antioxidants. There are 11 powerful and proven ingredients which work synergistically to support your skin's health from the inside out where it counts. It's manufactured in an FDA-licensed facility, and it's backed by science. Healthy skin starts from within. You can get Herpanacine Skin Support online at diamondformulas.com or by calling this number, 888-467-4200. Use the coupon code HOFFMAN for free shipping at diamondformulas.com or call 888-467-4200 for Herpanacine Skin Support. Okay, you know all those fitness trackers? I can't tell you how many people wear the Fitbit, various fitness trackers. The Apple Watch will do it for you, too. And they count their steps. And the goal, the holy grail of all these tracking devices is to take 10,000 steps a day. Why 10,000? Well, 10,000 seems like quite a lot of steps to take. Is it supported by science? So there's an article here in NPR. There was also an article in the New York Times about this by Gretchen Reynolds, who's their exercise guru. Turns out there's nothing magical about the number 10,000, according to studies. How did it come about that they urge people to take 10,000 steps a day? Well, a company in Japan thought it would be a cool goal. They started a marketing campaign to promote a pedometer, an early version of the Fitbit. And in subsequent years, it was adopted in the U.S. as a goal to promote good health. So researchers at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, part of the Harvard Medical System, did a study to find out, is that a reasonable goal? And could you get away with maybe a little less? The study included about 17,000 older women, their average age 72. They would all agree to clip on wearable devices to track their steps as they went about their day-to-day activities. And here's what they discovered. It turns out women who took about 4,000 steps per day, that's a lot less, got a boost in longevity compared with women who took fewer steps. That was the threshold. In fact, women who took 4,400 steps per day on average were about 40% less likely to die during the follow-up period of about 4 years compared with women who took 2,700 steps. Now, keep in mind that this is a correlation study, not necessarily a double-blind placebo prospective study. So if you were really sick and weak and diseased and about to meet your maker, it's unlikely you'll be able to consistently do 4,400 steps per day. So you can't say that somebody who's at death's door, just, you know, get them up, hit them with a cattle prod, and say, take 4,400 steps per day, and you'll be 40% less likely to die. It might help, but it might not alter the ultimate outcome. But anyway, they did this for 4 years. Women who took 4,400 steps per day were about 40% less likely to die during the follow-up period of about 4 years compared to women who took 2,700 steps. And here's another surprise. The benefits of walking maxed out at 7,500 steps. So you could go 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000. It didn't matter. So, once again, here's a caveat. Individual results may vary. Different strokes for different folks. Some people may need more exercise to attain more benefits, others not. But at least that's what the study says. Federal exercise guidelines call for 150 minutes per week of moderate physical activity, which includes all kinds of daily movement, not just walking. So you can achieve that exercise in a variety of ways. And meantime, go for the magical 4,400. Don't feel bad if you can't attain the 10,000. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Everyone's raving about the newest botanical superstar hitting the store shelves nationwide. Hemp-derived cannabidiol, or CBD, has been receiving a lot of attention for its tremendous promise on human health. Plus, CBD oil by CV Sciences is the trusted brand setting the standards in this newly emerging category of plant-based extracts, offering a variety of hemp-derived CBD oil products that you can count on. In order to make the highest quality CBD oil products available, it is important to manage every step of the supply chain process, from seed to shelf. That's why, from harvesting our EU-certified hemp seeds, to laboratory testing for quality and safety, to producing our exceptional line of products, we are committed to going the extra mile. It is our commitment to you. Join the CBD evolution. Ask your local natural health retailer about Plus CBD oil products by CV Sciences today. Follow us on Facebook and learn more at pluscbdoil.com.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today. Available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And you may be a victim of your very own health practitioner. And I'm not talking about in a sense that your doctor may make a mistake or that the medicines he or she dispenses could be dangerous. Accidents can happen. Surgeries can go awry. Medical devices can fail. We talk about this kind of thing here all the time on Intelligent Medicine, and you read about it in the press. But your health practitioner can literally be out to kill you in some instances. And this week brought to light a couple of very egregious cases of that. Headline, German nurse who murdered 87 patients given life sentence. And there's actually a theme. This is actually not an isolated incident. There is a theme of a type of killer, the so-called angel of death killer. People who are in a position of power over you by virtue of being a medical professional, who take it upon themselves to administer powerful drugs that are not designed to help you, but are designed to kill you. Because in some misguided way, they believe that they have the power of life and death over you and that they can administer euthanasia. If they decide in their own minds that you're not worth surviving, and In the case of the German nurse who murdered 87 patients, he was already convicted of murdering two patients. A judge recently handed down a sentence. It's virtually unprecedented. And you think of some of the, you know, the mass shootings in schools, for example, and the Las Vegas shooter. Nowhere could they attain this level of killing efficiency by using a gun. This German nurse induced cardiac crises in countless patients because he enjoyed the feeling of being able to resuscitate them, to take part in these exciting code blues where patients were brought back from the brink of death. But many of these patients, the majority of them, simply died. And the majority of these patients were not terminal patients. Yes, they were elderly and they were hospitalized and they were sick. But many of them had plenty of potential to recover and go on to leave the hospital and lead healthy lives. So in a parallel case, an Ohio critical care doctor has been charged with murder in the overdose deaths of 25 patients. And it really is, it's a mystery why he did this. But he allegedly purposely caused the death of each of his patients who were administered lethal amounts of fentanyl that, according to the prosecutor, shortened their life and hastened or caused their death. The patients that died under his care, some of them were very young. They were between the ages of 37 and 85. This doctor, William Husel, 43, turned himself into authorities last Wednesday, and he faces years to life in prison, according to the prosecutor's office. His license has already been suspended by the State Medical Board of Ohio because of his, quote, alleged failure to meet acceptable standards regarding the selection of drugs. In one case, an 82-year-old woman allegedly died after she was given 2,000 micrograms of fentanyl 5 minutes before her death. I know a little bit about dosing fentanyl. That is 20 times what you should receive. So that is not merely a mistake or miscalculation. That's a deliberate homicide when you administer that level of it. So in addition to the usual hazards of mayhem in the hospital, you know, hospital-acquired infections, medical errors, mistakes, drugs that have all kinds of side effects, the concern is, and we really have to weed these people out, there's some people who have evil intent, who lurk amidst the well-intentioned health professionals who care for you under circumstances where literally you're putting your life in their hands. And part of the problem is the ability of these people to go from job to job, and maybe they get fired because of some concerns or suspicions, but these incidents don't get properly investigated, and so many deaths ensue after the initial suspicion arises that we need a better system for screening these people out. And speaking of systems, electronic health records are broken, according to an article by Sally Pipes. She writes critical articles about our healthcare system. Turns out that the Obama administration's push to digitize patient health records has really not materialized as a boon to patients and as a way of saving a lot of money. The electronic health record push started with the 2009 American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. President Obama approved billions in spending to encourage the healthcare industry to embrace the technology. It was a real bonanza for firms making hardware and software for hospitals and medical offices, and put a big burden on doctors to buy expensive systems that often crashed and burned and required a lot of repair. I have experience with that. Many of my colleagues do. So it turns out that now 96% of hospitals have electronic health records. Some states mandate that you prescribe via EHRs. But they're seriously flawed. In one survey, 21% of patients reported mistakes in their own electronic medical records. The costs have escalated, and on it goes. Administrative headaches, overwhelmed doctors.
More than 3/4 of doctors report symptoms of burnout, often attributable to their need to constantly spend time inputting data into the computers. That's not what they went to med school for and expended huge amounts of money, time, and effort to get expert training for. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. Check out our website at drhoffman.com to become a more informative, more well-informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Subscribe to our podcasts. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And subscribe to our newsletter as well.